Welcome to the Print Pod. We asked why Pakistanis support Lashkar-e-Taiba. Results will surprise you, wrote C. Christine Fair, a professor within Georgetown University's Security Studies program. She is the author of the books titled, In Their Own Words, Understanding the Lashkar-e-Taiba and Fighting to the End, the Pakistan's Army's Way of War. I'm Tenzin Zompa, and in today's episode, I present to you Fair's opinion article. Lashkar-e-Taiba, along with Jaish-e-Mohammed, remains Pakistan's most virulent export. It remains the most effective and brutal terrorist group operating in India, Afghanistan, Bangladesh, and possibly elsewhere. Understanding who supports this nefarious organization remains an important scholarly and policy analytic question. To cast light on which Pakistanis support this group, Christine and her colleague Carl Kaltenthaler fielded a novel nationally representative survey of 7,656 Pakistanis in the country's four provinces of Punjab, Sindh, Balochistan and Khyber Pakhtunkhwa. Our results may surprise you. Why ideology matters? The Lashkar-e-Taiba differs from many of the Islamist terrorist groups operating in the region that hail from the Deobandi religious interpretive tradition, in that the LED draws from the Al-e-Hadith tradition. In fact, the organization has considerable conflict with these Deobandi groups in large measure because most of the Deobandis engage in the practice of takfir, or declaring Pakistanis to be non-Muslim, which then render them subject to lethal violence. Moreover, the Islamic State of Pakistan draws from Deobandi militant organizations because the madrasas and the terrorist organizations the Deobandis support are deeply sectarian, with a rich history of targeting non-Muslims, Shia, Ahmadi and increasingly Barelvis over the last decade. More than anything, Pakistan's deep state values the Lashkar-e-Taiba precisely because it preaches non-violence within the country. As I discuss elsewhere, the organization does not even publicly advocate death for Ahmadis, which puts it in stark contrast with Pakistan's Deobandis and even Barelvis, who view Ahmadis as the worst perpetrator of shirk apostasy. Moreover, Lashkar believes that it provides the only ideological competitor to the Islamic State in Pakistan. Despite the organization's claim to be Al-e-Hadith, most of Pakistan's Al-e-Hadith ulema and institutions reject Lashkar's primary claims that waging military jihad is an inescapable obligation of all Muslims and that it can be waged only by a non-state actors. Instead, most Al-e-Hadith ulema believe that only an Islami riyasit, Islamic state, can wage jihad. While the LET preaches non-violence towards anyone who recognizes the supremacy of Allah, it has real ideological differences with virtually all other Muslim sects in Pakistan. It accuses Barelvis, likely the largest market share in Pakistan, of committing idolatry for their cult-like adoration for the Prophet, who in Islam is merely a human being. Barelvis not only ascribe attributes to the Prophet that are reserved for Allah alone, but they also engage in practices such as wearing amulets, worship of pyres, erection of elaborate graves, etc., that the Lashkar believes to be apostasy. Lashkar, like Deobandi militant groups, also take issue with Shias because they reject the succession of the Prophet. Unlike Deobandis, who believe that Shia are wajib al-qadil, worthy of being killed, Lashkar believes that they should be educated and converted. Despite significant ideological differences with mainstream Al-e-Hadith institutions in Pakistan, according to our study, Lashkar-e-Taiba still draws support from Al-e-Hadith adherents. Notably, we find that Barelvi, Shia and Deobandi oppose the organization, which is consistent with the LET's proselytization efforts, Dawah and Tabligh, to convert such persons to the Lashkar's understanding of Al-e-Hadith interpretive tradition. Lashkar has long claimed to be a Kashmiri Tanzim, comprising Kashmiris fighting for Kashmiris and dying in Kashmir. But it has long been suspected, and recent data somewhat demonstrates that only the latter claim is true. Whereas some 90% die in India, and over 90% of its cadres come from a mere 10 districts in Pakistan's Punjab, a meager 1% come from Pakistan-occupied Kashmir. Irrespective of the LET's claim to be a Kashmiri organization, it is by all measure a Punjabi organization. This raises an interesting question. Do Pakistanis support the organization because of its religious or ethnic bona fides? It turns out that while ideology matters, ethnicity is the strongest predictor of support. It is far more important than ideology. At the same time, the Baloch are significantly more likely than others to oppose the Lashkar-e-Taiba, whereas Sindhis are weak in their response. This also tracks with reality. Pakistan's deep state has used the Lashkar in Balochistan for various reasons. First, it is expected that Lashkar can persuade Baloch to abandon their ethno-nationalist aspirations and embrace the state-sponsored notion of Islam propounded by Lashkar. To advance this agenda, when natural disaster hit Balochistan, as they often do, Pakistan only lets humanitarian organizations to do relief, which are tied to Lashkar. Equally important, the Lashkar is explicitly pro-China and endorses the China-Pakistan economic corridor. Given that Pakistan will fight to the last Baloch to make the resource-rich provinces safe for Chinese exploitation, the Baloch rightly view the Lashkar to be another guise of Punjabi domination, working in concert with the Punjabi-dominated army, which many Baloch believe has emaciated Baloch in their own province. While the Lashkar is an important and violent disruptor abroad, at home in Pakistan, it is an explicitly status quo power. While LED advocates killing Kafirs, non-believers in India, within Pakistan, it insists upon converting them through social services, humanitarian relief, and lived examples of pious Muslims. LED's staunch opposition to sectarian violence pits it against the Islamic State and many of the Deobandi militant groups, such as the anti-Shia Lashkar-e-Jangvi LEJ, which also operates under the name Sifa-e-Sahaba-e-Pakistan and Ali Sunnat Wal Jamaat, or the Tehreek-e-Taliban, TTP, or the Pakistani Taliban, which draws many of its commanders and cadres from the LEJ. Moreover, the Lashkar argues against any kind of protest of the state, irrespective of its leadership, and is a staunch supporter of the current domestic political and economic system in Pakistan, including Pakistan's unaffordable friendship with China. Perhaps unsurprisingly, the third strongest predictor of support for the Lashkar was satisfaction with the status quo. Our results should put to rest any thinking that Lashkar is a revolutionary organization. While very little work has been done to explicate whether and why women support Islamist terrorism, women in Pakistan are much more likely to support the Lashkar than are men. As I described elsewhere, the organization dedicates significant resources to recruit women to the organization's goals to ensure that they support the LED by encouraging their sons and other male family members to join it either as militants or in supporting roles. The LED empower women to promote the organization's creed, which empowers them and frees them to move about without hindrance. To ensure that mothers are not disenchanted with the organization, the Lashkar-e-Taiba requires the mother's explicit blessings for every mission in which her son may meet so-called martyrdom. The organization dispatches senior personnel to notify the parents of their son's death, and it oversees the important Ghaib-e-Janaza or funerary prayers in absence of a body. So what does one do with this information? The results continue to show that it is very likely that there is a viable non-kinetic strategy to deal with the Lashkar-e-Taiba. Given the extensive state support for the organization and the stronghold that Pakistan's military and intelligence agencies have in the country, there is little scope to conduct information offensives that would undermine any of the sources of support we find. The only options to deter the LED, absent capabilities to impose India's will over Pakistan decisively through overt military operations, are covert and kinetic. As I shown elsewhere, the pyramidal and open leadership structure in Pakistan make it vulnerable to leadership decapitation. While this option is challenging and difficult to execute, other options seem elusive. Thank you for listening. We will be back soon with another episode.